Hi, I can't hear you yet. There you are.
How's that?
Good.
Happy New Year.
Hello, I'm changing my name from Corinne Crabtree to Kathy.
Okay.
Okay.
Corinne Crabtree would play by Kathy today.
That's right. All right, so what's up?
Well, I has started a new job this year, mm-hmm. and I am up my own ass on it. I was just talking to another P&P buddy before, and she said, is there a coaching call today? You really need a coaching call. So here I am. Starting a new job this year, and it's a role I've done some of before, but it's been a long time, so I'm having like re-entry stuff, and I am like paralyzed all the time with fear of failure. So I feel like I'm not taking the action I need to take. I feel just insecure all of the time. I know I'm doing some stuff right. I know part of it is I'm being hard on myself, but you know, there's a lot to learn. It's a new role. It's a bigger job than I've had in the past. So I need to learn a new level of responsibility, being kind of the boss lady with a little department,
mm-hmm.
and all of that. And I really need to get my head on straight about this. I've never felt more anxious. I'm not normally an anxious person. I've never felt more anxious. I wake up every morning going like, holy shit, what have I not done? And every time I think of like a good idea, my brain immediately goes to, well, God, Christine, you should have thought of that 3 months ago. Why are you only thinking about that now? So I realized like the should have is a poison thought.
Uh-huh. The beat down. The beat down.
I have never worked so hard to get out of the shit lane of thinking I have in the past 4 months. And I feel like I'm still in it, you know? And going into, I work mostly remote. I am going into the office tomorrow for 4 days with the whole team. And so I'm feeling like anxious about getting in there, you know, and starting the new year.
Why are you feeling anxious about getting in there?
Because the whole team will be there. You feel like all of your, yeah, you know, there have been, I was hired into this role. The company's going through some transition, and January 1, a lot of the transition is like taking effect, right? And I'm getting new staff and all of that. So I'm feeling like, oh my God, like the first few months have been all about learning. And now it's like, oh my God, I really got to do it now. So
you have a couple of models going.
Oh my God. I've been doing models like a crazy lady on this job.
And so We're going to take a quick pause, and there's a lot of people on this call that may not know the model.
Right.
So I'm going to teach the model really quickly. For anyone who has not made it to phase two of No BS, we're going to do a super quick model overview. So the model is a picture we draw about something we're thinking that shows us how we create a result based on a thought. So we have a circumstance, and in this case, Christine's circumstance is she's got a meeting with the whole team coming up.
Mm-hmm.
She has a thought, that's the T line, about this meeting. That thought is creating a feeling, right? And feeling is one word, and it's an emotion. When you feel a certain way, you do or don't do certain things, and those things create your result. Okay. So I asked you, why were you anxious about this meeting?
Mm-hmm.
And you just told me the whole team's going to be there.
Whole team's going to be there.
And you know, we have new people on the team. That's a C line. Meeting with the whole team is the C line. The meeting is not causing you to feel anxious.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What's your thought?
My thought is, they'll all be able to see how I don't know what I'm doing.
They'll see it. Yeah.
They'll see I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to guess that thought doesn't create a great result.
Oh, it's not helpful. No.
Yeah. So it makes you feel anxious. When you feel anxious, what do you do or not do?
I get into like analysis paralysis where I can't make decisions.
I call that overthinking.
Yeah. All right.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you procrastinate?
Oh my God. Yes. And one of the things that I've figured out about myself is that I overthink and strategize to the point of procrastination, or I go in the other direction where I take action like half cocked and like, ooh, that would have been good to plan a little bit of that.
Okay.
But so, one or the other, like there's got to be a nice sweet spot with my planning operations so I can actually do.
Or you, what did you say? Jump in with no plan, without plan?
Jump in without a decent plan.
Without plan.
Either or.
Okay. And I'm going to put in here no sweet spot.
Yeah. That's what I call it.
All right. And the result is what?
The result is I.
You're not doing anything.
not doing the most important things, that's for sure.
Okay.
No, critical stuff.
You know what's so beautiful about this call?
What?
This could also describe what some of our new folks might be feeling about PMP.
And I have to tell you, for anybody who's not doing it, the getting your shit together call that Corinne did. I'm doing it once for P&P. I just printed this. I'm doing it for my job too. So everything for all the newbies, everything you're learning in P&P applies to your whole life.
Yeah, it does. So actually the core thought here is I don't know what I'm doing. You've said that. Oh, yeah. You said I'm still learning. There's so much to learn. All of those thoughts, lead to anxiety and overwhelm. I don't know what to do next. I don't have a handbook. You know, all those thoughts lead to overwhelm. So how do you get out of overwhelm?
Yeah, these are all the models I'm doing. I either come down on the side of anxiety or overwhelm.
Okay.
Most days, that's where things.
So let's talk about that brand new person at work or in PMP. Or whatever, who comes in and they're like, oh my gosh, there's so much to learn. I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. I'm paralyzed. You use the word paralyzed. I'm anxious, right? When that tribe member posts in Facebook or emails support, we give them a very clear list. One, orientation, mm-hmm. right? Two, planner course. Three, no BS. That's it. We don't tell them to listen to a call. We don't tell them to go to the website and poke around. It's all very clear instructions. That's what you have to do with yourself at work. So when you're sitting in your office and you're like, I don't know what to do next. I'm paralyzed. I'm overthinking this. Somebody might see I don't know what I'm doing. You have to bring yourself back in and say, what's one thing I know I can do? What's one thing I know needs to happen right now? And you make your list. Okay? So this meeting of everybody coming in mm-hmm. that you're talking about,
yep.
where they might see you, what's one thing you can do to prepare for that meeting?
I feel everything needs to happen.
No, one thing. What's the most important thing?
Kathy, I swear to God, I don't even know. I'm so like
jacked. Then tell me all the things.
I need to do like a whole. I need to do a whole sales plan.
Sales plan.
Sales targets for my department. I need to do a whole marketing plan. I need to review the, I need to look at like prospects to make territory plans. I need to finish onboarding a new employee. I need to start onboarding the second new employee. I always say, people ask me, next right thing, what's the next right thing? I feel there's so many next right things. And some of the next right things are like big projects. They're not like a quick task that I can just knock off.
Then you take that big project and you write out all the tasks that go with the project. And you prioritize them. And you put them in logical order. What else do you have to do to prepare for this meeting? Do you have to onboard these people to prepare for this meeting?
No, it's just some of the stuff that's going to have to happen this week.
Like, right.
It's not a single meeting. It's just that all the staff is going to be in the office together for the next 4 days.
Okay. And that's, so the onboarding needs to happen while they're all in the office together.
That's part of what I'm doing in the office.
So you have a sales plan, you have targets, and you're going to review prospects and territory stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't write enough down.
That's okay.
Onboarding employee number one and employee number two. What else?
I need to update a marketing plan for my second employee number two.
Okay. Okay.
I need to review 3 blog posts. I need to respond to, like, I have a handful of emails that are just hanging out there. I need to make decisions about my conference calendar. I tell you, one thing I did when you wrote orientation down, I did something I haven't done since my first week on the job. I pulled out my job description, which was helpful to take a look at. Just the banister, the good reminder, you know? It's like, but of course, the first thing that my brain went to was, shit, Christine, you should have been looking at your job description for the last 3 months. You know, like, I'm going immediately to this negative place instead of, wasn't that a good idea?
Do I need to write beat down here on the list of things that needs to happen?
Oh, it's happening anyway. No.
That was sarcasm, okay?
I know.
Because you're spending time in the beatdown that you could be spending planning when you're going to get this done.
Yes.
And breaking this down into small pieces that are doable. Yeah. That's why we're doing this. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 things, okay? What you do with this is you go through and you break it down into smaller pieces. So this sales plan and targets, writing or reviewing?
Writing.
How much time?
This is where I really get jacked up. I have no idea how much time. It takes as much time as it takes. I don't know.
How much time are you going to allow yourself for it? This is key.
I know.
If you tell yourself, I'm going to do this in 2 hours, then your brain starts figuring out how you're going to get it done in 2 hours. If you tell yourself, I'll never get it done, you won't even start. It's all about how you talk to yourself. So let's say you give yourself 3 hours for this.
Sure.
And you give yourself 2 hours for this one. I'm just arbitrary because I don't even know what these mean.
Yeah.
Why don't you onboard these two people together and give yourself an hour. An hour here, 3 blog posts. How long is that going to take?
90 minutes.
Really? Half an hour per blog post.
Well, I'm actually going to edit them. I don't know. You're right. Probably less. I just have to read them. They probably don't suck. Probably.
Yeah. Let's do an hour.
Yeah. 1 hour.
Okay.
Sure.
How about email?
Yeah, that's a spongy one. I don't know. Hard to say. Because you don't know what you're going to find in the email. You know what I mean?
Do you see where your brain's going?
Yes. It's
disaster planning, the email.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you say, I'm going to give my email an hour because that's really not as important as getting the sales plan done.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody really emailed me, if they emailed me and it's a disaster, I bet they get in touch with me a different way.
Yeah.
Do you think, how much time do you really think Corinne spends a lot of time in her email? Or do you think she's in the tribe doing the thing?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Right? Email is not, I mean, it's a priority for her. It's not a high priority.
Yeah.
It's teaching or coaching or studying or writing. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. She knows that if something is terrible going on, somebody's going to flag her.
Mm-hmm.
She gets to that email when she can.
Yeah.
And then the conference calendar? Half an hour?
No, That's bigger because it ties into the territory planning. It's like, what conferences am I going to?
Because so this is actually part of this one.
Yes.
Okay. So we can take it off or make it part of that. Mm-hmm. The more you can narrow your list into very specific things that you are going to accomplish rather than, oh my God, I have so much to do. The more your brain goes to work on, this is how I get it done. So the sales plan and the targets, what's the deadline?
Well, it's kind of up to me what the deadline is, but okay. Starting the year, you know, one should have this done. So I can give myself a deadline of, you know, got to be done by, well, I've done the targets already. I have to refine them. But the bigger plan, I don't know, by the end of next week, maybe?
So what's that, the 17th?
Sure. Let's follow up. Yeah, I'm looking at my calendar.
And you said should. Watch yourself when you say should. Mm-hmm. Should have been done by now. There's the beat down again.
Yeah.
That's not really true because it's not. And you actually gave yourself 2 weeks to do it. So it's okay. Right? Because you set the deadlines.
Yeah.
The prospects in the territory, when does that need to be done?
That is like an ongoing thing. It's just happening all the time. It's. Okay. I should probably just pick some territories and say, this one will be done by this date. This one will be done by this date.
Give yourself, put in your calendar, like time blocks to review territories every couple of days. Kind of like me, I was doing my calendar for this week and I was saying, what time blocks does it work for me to go into the Facebook group?
Yeah.
So I have hour time blocks each day and they're random because that's important, but it's not schedule bound. I just know I want to be in the Facebook group. Right. So it might be 8 o'clock one day, it might be 4 o'clock the next day.
This is where I am. Have really struggled with practicing this, is putting stuff on the calendar. Actually, I did a coaching call with Corinne months and months ago, and she was like, write your calendar in blood, you know? Uh-huh. And I really struggle with that because I feel like I'll do that. I'll write it all down. I'll put stuff in, and then I don't adhere to it. I'm not disciplined enough to adhere to it. And then the beat down starts again.
Well, that's the problem. I'm not disciplined enough to adhere to it. Why not?
Because I say something's going to take an hour and then it takes 2 hours. And
why is that a problem?
I reshift things and then I'm like, why did I bother putting it on the calendar in the first place if I just had to reschedule it?
That's because you don't want to. Okay.
Yeah.
We're getting more to the heart of the problem now.
Yeah.
When Corinne first had us time blocking, do you think we were perfect at figuring out how long a project was going to take? No. Not at all. In fact, it's still not perfect.
You're right. This is like the kernel of how did you get?
Yes. I just knew that I was going to work the hardest I could work in that 2 hour time block on that particular resource document. And then if I wasn't finished, I was going to find a way to work in some more time for it in the next day or in the next week. I was okay with not planning perfectly. Mm-hmm. You know, when you make a plan, whether it's with your time or your food or your family or whatever, you're setting an intention. You're not saying somebody's going to die if I miss this plan. I'm going to get fired if I miss this plan. No, you're giving yourself an intention for that time period. So that's why I asked you, if 3 hours is your estimate for this, is it a problem if it comes back in two?
No.
No. Is it a problem if it comes back in four?
No.
No. You know why?
If I didn't do it right, if I didn't do it well, and if it's like, it just reveals like, oh my God, you have all these ingredients for this planet you don't even know that you needed, and you don't know how to get them, and now everyone will know, like, my God, she's been here for 4 months, she doesn't know where to get X, Y, Z. Like, okay. I'm judging myself through it, and I'm like feeling I'm never going to get it right.
All right, so it's lunchtime, and you walk into the kitchen, and you have a salad planned, and the lettuce is brown.
Mm-hmm.
Do you fall apart because you have to change the plan?
No.
Why are you doing this with your time?
Yeah.
So if you have to go off plan for lunch, or you have to go to the store and lunch takes an extra half an hour because there's no food in the house because that salad was the last thing in the refrigerator, then what do you do for the rest of the day? You adapt, right? It doesn't cause all this emotional upset. You just adapt for the rest of the day. That's what you have to do. You have to set an intention with your work, and then you adapt if your time periods, your time blocks don't magically, you know, get the first guess right. I have to do a resource document for Ask Coaches this week. I've set aside 2 hours. I have no idea how long this is going to take me. It could take me half an hour. It could take me half a day. But what I'll do is I'll set aside my 2 hour time block, and I'll work the heck out of that 2 hour time block. And then I'll figure out what needs to be done at the end of that time block. Because once you work through it for a couple of hours, you get a better feel for what's required and what needs to happen at the end of that block. What you're doing is getting all stressed out and not starting the evaluation process.
Because I feel like half the time, I don't know where to start with things.
You do know where to start. You're just telling yourself, I don't know where to start. Right? So you said you had background in this job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What background do you have that can help you write a sales plan?
I have previous sales plans from the last person who was at somewhat kind of in this role. I have, you know, I know what our kind of goals are and our budget is, like what sales targets we've set in our budget.
Mm-hmm. So you have resources to look at. You have data when it comes down to the numbers, and you have previous sales plans that you can tell yourself, I can take 20 minutes to review these sales plans before I get to work on mine.
Yeah.
Because I can see you going in there and spending 2 hours trying to.
Yeah, trying to adapt it and all of that.
Let me ask you this too. Do the people you work for expect you to be the same person as the person you replaced?
No.
No. Right? So they expect you to probably review the resources and then put your own spin and flair and talent into what you're doing. Right? So when you get in this state of overwhelm and anxiety, you have to find that first step. So when it comes to this sales plan, it sounds like your first step is to pull the previous person's last one and the numbers that you have to work with and create some time to do that and some time to write down some ideas for yourself. So your steps are review. I wonder what that feedback is.
Are you getting feedback?
Yeah. I don't know if anybody else is or not.
Is it better or worse?
Don't worry about it. We're almost done.
I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
I don't know if it's my computer or what. I don't know.
So we have the simple steps of the review of the previous one, the gathering of your data, and then just writing creatively about what your next one's supposed to be. Does that feel doable to you when you break it down into those smaller steps?
It does feel doable. I have to say, I just am feeling incompetent. You know, there's the anxiety.
Well, that's the model.
Feeling really incompetent. So
why are you feeling incompetent?
Because I haven't done this job in a while. And I know I can do it.
Does that lead to incompetent? I haven't done this job in a while? Or is that uncertain?
I'm feeling like I don't know what I'm doing. I'm feeling like I don't know where to start.
That's the incompetent. I don't know what I'm doing.
I don't know what I'm doing sometimes. I don't have
it. Is that the proof?
I come up with an idea and I go, that's great. Let's do that.
what's wrong with that? So I don't know what I'm doing. Is that the truth? In everything, 100%.
It really feels like it is. I have spent so much time in the beat down. I really feel like I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
If, did your boss think that too?
I think so far so good.
Uh-huh. What about the people that work for you? Do they look at you and go, Christine, man, that girl, she does not know what she's doing.
I don't know what they think. I really don't.
I'm betting.
One of them is brand new, and one of them, I have a salesperson and a marketing person. The marketing person, I hired one, she didn't work out, so she's gone. So she was that was pretty toxic. But now we're starting with marketing person number two in 2 weeks. So I have confidence in her. I think she's going to be really great. So
okay. So you know what you're doing when you're hiring and firing somebody.
I'm afraid they'll be like, shit, I should be the boss. This gal has nothing.
You've got to stop that.
I know. This is terrible.
Every time you say something like that, you have to write that down and say, this is what I used to think.
Yeah.
And this is just something I think. Mm-hmm. Right? Because you're still getting a paycheck.
Yep.
You're still going to work. Your boss still giving you work. You had all these things. Responsibilities. Somebody must think you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Maybe borrow their belief in you for a minute. Yeah.
I absolutely need to do it. I have a lot of friends in the industry, and I have 10 people who have my job title. And I'm like, I just am clinging to that like a life raft. Like I see them doing this every day and they're doing fine. I know I can do this. Like intellect.
Clinging to that like a life raft.
I am.
Terrible.
I know. Like intellectually.
Your self-talk is awful.
I know,
girl.
I know. It's been nuts, Kathy. I usually have been pretty good with my self-talk. Like through my life, I have been, this is a new and crappy phenomenon. Like this is not usually me. So it feels really uncomfortable to be this insecure. Mm-hmm. So I'm really trying to get out of it.
I want you to see all of the thoughts that you're throwing at yourself and to see how much they are blocking you from your own wisdom. Because when I asked you how to do a sales plan, you told me how to do one. Yet now you also tell me you don't know what you're doing. Okay. So when you make your list of things that you want to get accomplished, I want you to think about how would I teach someone else to do this? Okay. What steps would I tell them to take to research how to do this?
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully something like that will bring some compassion back into your own mind that you're learning and it's okay that you're learning how to do your job right now.
Yeah.
Does that help? A little bit?
Yeah, it does. It does. It's just, I've really been struggling with this. This is really all consuming and I know I need to get out of it and I have to I just have to get out of this negative headspace. It's going to kill me.
I think you need to realize the reason I want you to see all the thoughts that you're telling yourself is because you actually have to acknowledge the negative headspace first rather than trying to so hard to get out of it. You have to see that I'm really talking to myself in ugly ways and that is blocking me from any wisdom I have about this job. When I'm telling myself I don't know what I'm doing, it's blocking me from saying, but I do know how to do this and let's just get started. Or maybe I can figure this out. When you're telling yourself I can't do this, you're not telling yourself I can figure it out. Right? So that's why you have to, when you hear I can't do this, you have to say, and that's just something I'm thinking right now.
Right.
Acknowledge that you're telling yourself that in order to pull the BS light on it and say, this job is mine to figure out. This job is mine to work on one step at a time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One step at a time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like these girls coming in. It was coming in.
Yeah.
This weight loss is right there for them. They just have to take one step at a time.
Yeah. It's like intellectually, I know I can figure this out. And mostly, I'm still stuck in it.
Oh, actually, that's a great point.
It is.
You're having an argument in your head.
Yeah.
Right? You got this guy over here going, come on, Christine, they're paying you. You know you can do this.
You can figure this out.
Logical brain. Right?
Yeah.
primal brain's back here going, oh my God, it's a change. We don't know. I don't know what to do. Maybe we should eat. Maybe we should like beat ourselves up. Maybe we should do all these things. Run, it's tigers.
Yeah. Right? Well, I can say the great thing is I'm not eating over it. So
you have to, anytime you have a change, your primal brain is going to have a freak out. Right? Because it likes systematic, everything the same, easy. Let's just do the thing.
Let's coast. Yeah.
Let's just coast. The logical brain's over here going, we're smarter than this. We've got this. We can do this. We can figure it out. You're smart. They're paying you to do this. This is a great job. Come on, Christine. Allow the conversation. That's what I'm telling you. Allow that conversation to happen. Allow that logical brain to answer that primal brain. When it's going, I feel so incompetent. The logical brain has to say, today, we're not going to say that. We're not going to be incompetent. We're going to do one thing.
Yeah.
Allow that conversation to happen so that eventually the primal brain settles down and realizes the change is a good thing and that actually you're adapting. And it will eventually settle down if you let them talk to each other.
Okay.
I'm glad you said, logically, I know this is going to be okay.
Yeah,
I do. You just have to remind yourself of that.
I feel like I'm reminding myself 1,000 times a day, and I'm exhausted. I go to bed every night exhausted emotionally.
Mm-hmm. You think this is the turning on? What if this is just okay? I mean, you're exhausted emotionally because you're figuring it out and because you're using your brain, mm-hmm. right? And because you're working so hard emotionally right now.
Yeah.
You know, if this is what you have to do right now so that in 4 more months you've got it figured out, then it's worth it, right?
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Right? Anytime you go through some kind of big change like this, your brain is going to shoot off, you know, all kinds of fireworks and and stuff.
Yeah. Maybe I need to not judge the negative thoughts so much.
No. Just know that they're there because they're trying to protect you. Mm-hmm. You don't have to believe them. Mm-hmm. Like that's, you know, they're going to come in. How many times a day you think, I think, like on this call, I'm not helping her. This is not working. This is not coach. This is not good coaching. You know, but I have to set that aside in order to say, oh, wait, you just said something. Let's talk about that. Because if I'm in my own head, I'm not helping you. So if you're in your own head over what you don't understand, you're not giving yourself an opportunity to understand.
That, thank you. That was something I needed to hear. If I'm in my own head, I actually can't do the job they hired me to do.
Right. Right. So just hear those thoughts come in because they're going to come.
Yeah.
And just say, thank you. My coach, I have a coach too. She'll say, just say thank you for your input. Like, okay. I hear you.
Yeah.
I know that you're going to tell me today 47 times that I don't know what I'm doing. And I appreciate the input, but now I'm going to get to work trying to figure out what I'm doing.
I'm going to get to it. Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's just the conversation that you allow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stop judging those thoughts. They're just trying to protect you. They're just trying to help you out.
They are.
I mean, really, that's all the primal brain's doing. It's like, you're spending so much energy. All I want to do is digestion.
Yeah. Kathy, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
All right. Thanks.
Smaller pieces. Okay. Yes. Smaller pieces and steps forward are really, really going to help you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Very much.
See ya.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye. Okay. I thought I saw in the chat that Amy Jo did not want to be coached. Is that correct? Because your hand is still raised. So I'm going to skip by you. If that's not correct, let me know. Try and put, if you do want to be coached, leave your hand up. If you don't, put your hand down. So go down to the bottom of your screen and click that raise hand so it comes off. Jolene, you're next. Jolene, are you there? Maybe Jolene didn't want to be coached either. You guys make sure your hand is raised only if you want to be coached. So Jolene's not responding. All right, Jolene, I'm going to take you back down to attendee. Go to the next person. Marsha. Are you there, Marsha?
I am.
I don't see you. Oh, here you come.
Okay. This is a very first for me. So if I haven't done something right about the video.
Yeah, I don't see you. I see pink. Do you have something over your camera maybe? Oh, there you are. Oh, now you, wait a minute. Now your sound's gone. Hang on. See if we can fix your sound.
Okay, so.
Oh, there you are.
Okay.
Don't change anything. Okay. Right. Hi there.
Hi. So I just joined like at 7:59 last night.
Oh my goodness, you made it.
Yes. And anyway, I'm stuck completely just even doing the PDF thing and figuring out Zoom.
All right, what's PDF thing?
Let me... pre-doc to PDF file converter. After you install the doc to PDF extension, you can easily convert any file to PDF from the taskbar icon. So
what
anyway.
What are you reading from?
Oh, so none of that sounds right, right?
What are you reading from? Is that a PMP document?
I printed it out because I wanted to remember what it said.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Where did you print it from?
My printer. I have a...
Okay.
You know, computer, printer. And anyway, it's a Mac, and I feel like I need, like I had said, often I call Apple people, Apple support, and they're very helpful. But sometimes, like if it has to do with my printer, which this doesn't, for an example, though, they will say, well, that's HP. You need to contact them. And so I feel like they maybe are going to say, you need to go to your source, to your people
tell
that you're trying to join.
Tell me what you are trying to do. What PMP task are you trying to accomplish?
Just to join and get going.
Okay.
And I feel like I'm not even doing that. So what I'm asking, and not to waste all this time, could
Here's what I want you to do, okay?
Okay.
I want you to go to, on your Mac...
Okay.
Go to www.pnptribe.com.
Yeah.
And use the username and password that you set up when you signed up last night. Okay. Do you have that information?
Yes. Do you want me to go there right now?
No. I'm going to give you some steps to follow.
Okay.
Okay. So you'll log in using your username and password. And password. And then you're going to see a screen that has step one, orientation. Have you done this yet?
I saw it, but I can't get beyond. And I can't tell you right now what I couldn't get beyond.
There's a button on that screen I want to make sure I tell you correctly. Let me get over here real quick. I'll tell you exactly what you need here. Okay, so at the very top of that screen, it says step one, complete your orientation. You press the pink button that says, you click on the pink button that says start orientation.
Okay.
Okay. Once you click on that button, then another page comes up and it says, watch the videos below, mark each one complete when finished. You'll be emailed access to the Facebook community once you finish orientation. This is the first step for new members. All right. Then unit one says, welcome to PMP Tribe. And that's a link that you click and that's your first video. There are five videos to go through on this page. And I think once you get through those five videos, it will tell you what the next step to do is.
As far as the workbook, is that going to be something that I print out?
Are you talking about the planner?
Yeah.
The planner. You can print it or you can order it.
Okay.
If it would be easier for you to order one, let's see. Have you gotten a link to order it already?
I don't even know.
Right now. You will. You will get a link to order it, probably in your email.
Okay.
All right. Or in orientation. The next, after you finish the five videos in orientation, it's going to take you to the planner course to show you how to fill out the planner and how to order it.
Okay.
So that's actually step two. So you'll do these five videos. Whoops. Five videos.
Oh, yeah, I do. Then, yeah.
Right. Then step two is all about the planner.
Okay.
If you do those things in that order, you are going to be set.
I tell you, I get this thing about PDF file converter that flies up on my screen. It's nothing to do with any of this.
No, that's the PDF file converter is a local issue that you have. That's not part of the tribe. It's probably wanting you to download a program that will open the planner on your screen to print it out.
Hmm.
But if it would be easier for you to just order one, then I would take the easy path, honestly.
How much is the plan?
The big one that I have here, this big one, I believe is $38. The smaller one, the purse size one, which is 8x6, has the same stuff. It's just a little bit smaller. Is $28.
Okay. Okay. Well, after your helpful advice, what if I still can't get it?
Then I would email support.
Okay.
PNPtribe.com. Support. At pnptribe.com.
And like earlier in the week, I had emailed them. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, I connected with somehow else, and I got another message back from support.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to tell them, and then I tried to ask further questions, and no one answered me. So,
I know Sadie is working support. She's working support today.
Mm.
So,
okay,
I'll make sure she looks for your emails.
Okay. Anyway, okay. I just get going on everything.
Absolutely.
A good thing to get going before Monday, I guess. So yeah. Anyway.
Any questions like that, send to support. But honestly, that first page on the website, you know, gives you the step one and step two and then step three, and you just work your way through everything in order at your own pace.
Okay.
Okay.
I appreciate your input. Thank you.
All right. See ya.
Yep. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Let's see.
Okay, Amy Jo. Hello. Hello.
Okay, there we are. Hi.
Hi.
That was probably a good reprieve there, a break before you called on me, because I was definitely involved in Christine's call.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
What did you learn from Christine's call?
Well, we're probably going to go to part B of Christine's call.
Okay.
I can sit here and listen to all of the things that Christine was saying. And I worked on the self-love this summer, mm-hmm. and talked with Betsy, coached with Betsy a few times, mm-hmm. in preparation for a new school year. I'm a high school teacher.
Okay.
And it has really helped me. And it got me through the start of the school year. And usually I derail by the end of September into like crazy thoughts. But it was able to sustain me.
Okay.
Until some, you know, crazy things start happening in my life, and then things start to derail. So my question for you today is about the time blocking. And I really like this new 24-hour plan sheet that has the time blocking on the side. Mm-hmm. I'm learning how to use that. And much like Christine was talking about becoming overwhelmed with feeling like you have so many things to do, I have, over this holiday break, started to use those hour markers or half-hour markers.
Mm-hmm.
But this is where I need the help today with mindset. So extemporaneous things in your life that happen. And for me right now, it's not just dealing with work, school responsibilities. I do some extracurricular activities I'm responsible for. I'm a department chair. But I'm dealing with my mother with dementia.
Mm-hmm.
And see, I'm going to get emotional. Marcia needed to talk longer so I would be calmer. A series of things have happened in the last 2 weeks that clearly have gotten me emotionally, but I've tried really, really hard to maintain a plan. And when I think I have it, something out of the blue happens that totally derails a day, an organization, a plan, something I've been working up to the point that this week it's like, I give up. You know, I sit down with my plan every night and I put little stars next to all the things that I do and all of that. And I've had several days in the past couple of weeks that I've lost control because control, I felt, has been taken out of my hands. And I know that that's a thought, but as I sat there and physically wrote on the paper all the things that I couldn't complete, it was like, I don't know how to get control in those types of situations. Positive thing is I haven't been eating my feelings in the last 2 weeks, so I've maintained control of that. I've tried to maintain control of the sleeping and, you know, the drinking water and all of that. But the emotional side to things, I don't want it to derail me. 4 years ago, I was the caretaker for my father before he passed away. And the end result was a gain of 40 pounds. So I know that this is going to be an emotional time, and I just need help figuring out how to handle it and not falling apart.
All right. So why is it a problem that is an emotional time?
Why is it a problem? Because
mm-hmm.
I'm a blubbering idiot.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
You're watching your mother with dementia decline. Why wouldn't you allow yourself to be emotional about that?
You know, and I mean, I have, I missed the first 2 days of work coming back from this holiday. One, because we ended up at a doctor's office yet again. But the second one, I physically couldn't get there because I felt that I couldn't do my job.
Okay.
That's not good.
Why is that not good?
I have to do my job.
Do you have sick days?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you took a sick day, right?
Yeah, I took a sick day, and then it's like I sat down calculating my sick days and realized that I had used my last family illness day. You know, family illness days are really built in for parents, right, with their kids, and I don't have children. So it's like, okay, I've just used all my family illness days. So, you know, as whatever happens transpires now through the, you know, rest of the school year, I'm on my own sick days.
Okay.
And it's like, I can't do that. I have responsibilities, you know, and I mean, some of my responsibilities themselves have deadlines. I'm a yearbook advisor. I'm a newspaper advisor. You know, those are deadlines that don't wait. And I have a responsibility to my kids, you know, and for those
out there. You also have a responsibility to yourself. Okay. And I think this is what's missing here is the compassion for yourself, for your emotions, and for the choice that you're making to care for your mother, right? When you make that choice to be her caregiver, you have to allow yourself the opportunity to be flexible in your time and be flexible in how you take care of yourself, okay? When you beat yourself up because you missed a day of work, you're not caring for yourself. You know, a wise person told me once, you can't pour from an empty cup, right?
And that was some of the thought process of taking the day.
Right.
But
so let me ask you this. In order to properly care for your mother, are you willing to take a day when you need one? Are you willing to give up that sick day when you need one?
Well, yes, I need to.
Yes. All those words don't count. Is that something you're okay with?
Yes, I am. My concern is that I'm not learning how to effectively handle the responsibilities.
Well, and what does effectively handle the responsibilities look like?
Well, what I thought it looked like, and I really, like I said, that the time blocking, I was like, this is good. You know, this is like a tool. If I can time block, you know, getting these things done for school, like if I can concentrate on getting these things done, then I can have time to deal with family and issues that I have to deal with. Mm-hmm. But you can't time block emergencies.
Right.
And you can't time block mental illness because it's got a life of its own.
Right. So the days that you have emergencies, if you are the caretaker and you are the one who has decided to do this, then you adapt, right? Let's do this. So let's say I time block tomorrow and I have, what does my time blocks look like? Let's just write out my time blocks here. So I have 8 a.m. I have a call. I'm going to put PC, private client. 9 a.m. I have a private client. 10 a.m. I have a private client. 11 a.m. on Facebook. 1 p.m., I have admin. You get the point, okay? On down to about 5 o'clock.
Right.
All right? Corinne calls me, and she says, Kathy, the website's down. I need you. This is an emergency. I'm going to need you to drop everything you're doing and go do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, because I can't get to my computer. I don't go into the doer and say, I don't know how I'm going to get everything done. Right?
But don't you also feel this obligation, especially to your private clients, which would be my students, right? Your private clients.
Yes. I absolutely do. Do you think these private clients don't hear from me? I take 5 seconds and I Slack them and I say, I'm going to have to reschedule because I've had an emergency. And they're like, okay, that's fine. But in that moment, I have intentional time blocked. But the moment the emergency comes up, I sit there and I have that nanosecond thought, which is more important, this or that. I'm thinking it's Corinne, it's the website, it's the emergency, it's mama with dementia. This stuff I can handle in a minute. I'm taking care of my mom. I'm taking care of Corinne. Okay? I make that choice willingly and knowing that this is the choice that I'm making, and I'm okay with that. I think what's happening with you is that you have all your time block stuff and your mom calls, and you're uncertain which is more important. You haven't committed to which one is more important. In the big scheme of life, who gets Amy Jo's attention first when they need it? Is it the students? Are you married?
Yes.
Is it the spouse? Is it the mom? Is it the boss? You know, once you make that decision and you commit to that hierarchy, then when something comes up, when you have a time block day, you're okay with saying, I know that I can take care of this another time because mom needs me. Or you call somebody to take care of mom because you know that this is what's most important, or whatever it is. Okay, it's all based on what's going on in your mind. You're holding on to this stuff, I'm going to bet, because you're worried about dealing with your mom. And if you don't have to address mom, if she's quiet over here and there's no emergencies, you don't have to think about the fact that she's declining.
Well, if I'm in the four walls of my classroom, I have complete and total control and a plan because I lesson plan, right?
You always have control. That's a thought that you need to really think about. You get up and you leave that classroom. It's a choice that you've made because you have control of your legs. You get in your car and you drive over to your mom's to take her to the doctor. You have complete control. It's a decision you made to do that. You could tell her, I'll get to you tomorrow. But you're choosing not to. You have total control over all of that.
Okay, so here's the conflict and the meltdown that, God bless my husband, had to deal with this weekend. Because the first thing you said, which is, when's the time for Amy? Mm-hmm. And then it became, you know, because now I'm doing the new planner, right? So I'm writing up there. Mm-hmm. I deserve this. And when I was sitting and assessing the plan, where I literally ended up crossing everything off, saying I never did any of this because I felt the control was taken out of my hands. So I wrote the new plan for the day, the next day. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I went to the refrigerator to get my lunch that I had planned. Mm-hmm. My husband took it and ate it for his lunch. and I blew into like whirling dervish of craziness because it was like, even my sandwich I don't have that I planned.
But that's because you're nurturing the thought that you don't have any control. You had absolute control of everything else that was in that refrigerator. You could make something else.
Great salad stuff in there, but I did, like, I loved right? it, like I was like star craving maniac.
It's that thought, I don't have any control, that your brain is looking for evidence to prove it's right. When I'm telling you logically, from a logical standpoint, you have all the control. You make every decision, every eating decision, every doctor visit decision, every classroom decision, every husband decision, you make them all just by showing up and doing your thing. You don't believe me. Think about it.
Well, I mean, when you're called to the emergency room, it's hard to say that's not your decision.
Somebody called you, you could say, I'm busy. I got a yearbook to get out.
Oh my God, yeah, but he would never do that. I mean, it's your mom. She gave birth to you.
That's your choice. That's what I'm telling you. You choose to put your mom above the yearbook. What's the problem with that?
Yeah, it's just, it's getting control of it because I know this will be a declining condition, right? You know, we're going up the hill, I know, to the decline. And I feel that I have to find some way to find a happy medium between all of those things, because
what if it's not a happy medium? What if it's just alternatives?
Well, okay, yeah, I'm good. I'm going with that terminology.
School.
Yeah.
And here's the plan. And you have mom, and here's the plan. Okay?
So it's almost like protocols for each?
Yeah. So if mom if somebody calls, mom's fallen, mom needs you, mom whatever, here's the plan. I know you do lesson plans for school. So if you're called away, you've got a lesson plan. All you got to do is call a sub, right? Boom, done. Same thing with food. You know, if you're at the hospital, you're probably going to have a plan for being at the hospital, you know, because you're not going to be able to pull that lunch out of your refrigerator. This is where options come in. But you also have to understand that when you have an emotional situation like what you've got going on with your mom, you have to allow yourself some flexibility to adapt to the situation. You want to stay in school because it's all structured and it's all planned out and everything's working out and everything's normal and all that kind of stuff. It's this primal brain that's kicking in going, we have to deal with mom. It's a change. I don't know if we can do it. You know, it's not the structure that we planned. Well, that's okay, because sometimes as kids taking care of our moms, we have to adapt to the situation. If it makes you feel better to give yourself options for those days, then that's what you do.
Yeah,
mom plan and protocol.
But the responsibilities for both of those lines remain. You know, even if I, you know, if I choose to prioritize whichever one I choose to prioritize, that doesn't mean the responsibilities for the other one have gone, right? So when I'm not in school, the paperwork is piling up, you know, and then the time to do the paperwork, you know what I mean? Like, it goes back to, there's not enough hours in a day. I mean, that's what it feels like.
So then you come up with a plan, you come up with a way to handle it. I mean, there's never going to be more than 24 hours in a day. Right?
Yeah.
So you have to prioritize and use that time that you have available to you in the best way you can. I really think you need to come up with a mom plan. How am I going to handle when I am called away from work? What's the plan to keep me as much, you know, up to date with school as possible and take care of mom at the same time?
Can you give me an example of any part of that, how it would look?
You take papers home every day just in case. Maybe you plan, you know, you fill your satchel with something to do at the hospital if you have to go to the hospital. Maybe you, I don't know. I mean, you're going to have to look at your day and say, how can I figure this out? How can I, and maybe you just thought download this. How can I adapt and be flexible when mom calls and needs me? So make a list of the things that you can do when mom calls and needs you so that you don't have this thought going through your head, I'll never get everything done. Because all that is, it's just like Christine, you're just blocking your own wisdom to finding the answers. When you're telling yourself that, it's like saying, I don't know. You know, I don't know is like the big roadblock to any figuring anything out.
Yeah.
Right?
I just know And this, I guess, is what is looming, is I know that I don't want to make the same mistakes as I was the caregiver for my father.
Okay.
And ended up 40 pounds heavier.
Okay.
You know, I know that. And I did. I mean, I was in the hospital over this 2-week break. I was in the hospital 3 times and in doctor's offices 2 times and then other craziness. And I didn't eat during any of that. Mm-hmm. And so I was very proud of myself for that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's all the other emotional stuff that.
Maybe the emotions are coming out now because you're not eating.
Yeah.
And maybe that's okay. Who wouldn't be emotional when they're taking care of their mom who has dementia?
Yeah.
What if it's okay to be emotional? You're emotional because you love her. Right?
Yeah.
So make sure you're feeling all the emotions, the fear, the love, the stress, the whatever it is, the sadness, whatever it is that you're feeling, feel them all. Give yourself that grace to feel all the emotions and then say, all right, how are we going to get our work done and take care of mom too? Because I can figure this out.
Yeah. Okay. So a couple of protocols.
I think so. I think you just start... visualize, just put yourself, when you're finished with this call, I want you to just sit back and think about the next time you get an emergency call from mom and you have things lined up at school to do. Go ahead and picture all the things that you can do to blend the two. Okay, so it's like practice ahead of time, visualization. So you get this phone call and you know you have, you know, all the lessons and the plans and the yearbook and the this and the that. How can I put them together and blend the two? How can I figure out what can I move around? What can I plan for ahead of time for? Who can I get to sub for me? Who can, all the things. That's how you develop this mom plan. And then as it happens, and use the information you have from when you took care of your dad. Not as, I don't want to repeat that, but as a lesson to learn from.
Right.
Okay, this didn't work and this did. So how can I create an even better plan this time as I'm taking care of mom?
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that help?
It does. It does. And if I can get those ideas logically in my head, then it doesn't turn into what Christine was talking about, is the inability to act at all.
Yes.
Because I've been sitting here with a pack of papers that I need to grade, but my mind is everywhere else.
Yeah.
You know, and I just can't get through the pack of papers because I'm trying to figure out all this other stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wait, so you're trying to figure out stuff with your mom?
Just how to manage it all.
Just how to manage it all. Right. And that's what's creating the overwhelm. And overwhelm always creates inaction.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the way to get out of overwhelm is to pick that very first step forward. And for you is to get on a coaching call.
Yeah.
Right. So do this visualization and say, give yourself time limit. You like time. I got 30 minutes to work on this. And then I'm doing these papers. And I bet while you're doing the papers, you get more ideas because you've opened your brain up to seeing maybe some things to try.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Does that help?
Yeah. Thanks. And I'm glad you didn't pass me over.
Well, I thought I saw you come through. I thought I saw in the corner of my eye that you said you didn't want to be coached. So
I think there was two of us with the same name. I think that's what happened.
Okay. Good deal. All right. Well, I'm glad I didn't. I'm glad you got on too.
Yeah. Okay? Thank you.
All right. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's do one more. Jillian.
Mute. Okay. Do you hear me?
I hear you. Let's see if we can get your video started.
Oh, start video. Start my video.
Okay. There you are.
All right.
What's up?
Well, I am getting closer to my compelling reason.
Okay.
And I just want to run it by you because I've done so many models on this and I just need some other, I need some other thoughts around it.
Okay.
So the story is that I, was drinking wine to unwind at the end of the day. And so in the past, I would say month or so, I've experimented with, not drinking as much in one sitting, and I've experimented with not drinking on weeknights. And so that's felt really good. I did the, that tedious and powerful worksheet and I did it with wine, and I realized that actually, somebody in my accountability group is on here saying hi. We're in a drinking accountability group, which is great.
Okay.
So I realized through doing that, that actually wine does not make me feel relaxed and special and happy. It just makes me feel numb. And so just going through all of the thoughts about it, I've gotten to a point where I don't want, I'm already productive enough in my life, even with drinking wine. So it's not like I want to like not drink wine at night so that I can get a million things done. And that I tried that on for a reason and it felt horrible. I have some hobbies, but not a lot. I like to work and be productive. So part of it is I don't know how to relax at the end of the day, but what I finally came to is that I, when I am working, I want to be totally all in during the day when I'm working. Okay. I want to be like on fire and I want to give it my best. And so my time at the end of the day, when I really do get tired, like in late afternoon and into evening, and I finally realize that I need to listen to that and I need to actually rest my brain. Instead of numbing out with wine or with food, but really it's with wine because I've gotten the food voices kind of under control. So I want to rest my brain in the evening so that I can feel rejuvenated the next day. So right now that's like my identity shift that I'm, this is all like in the last 24 hours that I've thought about this. So this is brand new. And so I want to just make sure that that is really what I want. And then also I have no idea how to relax and how, I don't know what my evening would look like if I were not drinking to numb out or whatever.
What are you doing when you're drinking?
Nothing. I'm doing like stuff like cleaning up the house or like paying bills or like that's the stuff that has to get done. That doesn't need my creative energy during the day.
So why wouldn't that be the stuff that you do when you're not drinking?
I guess so. It's not any fun. And I think that's why I was drinking wine, to make it more fun, right? That would make it more entertaining.
Is it supposed to be fun, cleaning up the house?
No.
Does cleaning up the house rest your brain?
It does, because I like to be have it be tidy and organized, and it makes me feel comforted and stuff like that. Yeah.
So maybe that's how you think about cleaning up the house instead of that's not fun. You think, this is how I prepare for the next day, and I like everything in order. Makes me happy.
Okay. All right. That feels good.
Right. It does for me. I might be the only person in the whole world who likes putting the Christmas decorations away. I love putting them up, but I love taking them down because my house is back in order. Things are back where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
As much Christmas stuff cluttering things up. I just like, I like the clean line. So when I did that work yesterday, I was like all over it. It was not restful, except that it made me happy thinking my house is back in order.
Yeah.
Right. So for you, you have an unintentional model running with, this is just not fun. I need wine to make this fun. And an intentional model running that says, I really like my house in order. I'm going to get everything taken care of for tomorrow.
Okay. Right?
See, and it's all about cleaning the house and winding down at night. So however, you see what I'm saying? So it's how you choose to think about cleaning the house. If it's not fun, it's not going to be fun. It's not going to be restful. But if it is, if it's, this is how I get myself ready, I like this, then it's okay.
Okay. So how do I, if the piece of it where I would numb out is what it filled something for me to numb out. like, do I try meditation? Like, what do I do to numb out somehow?
What are you numbing?
Or what do I look? I don't know.
Are you numbing the thought that it's not fun? Are you making it fun because you're drinking?
Yeah, that's part of it.
Okay.
That's definitely part of it.
So what if it's not fun, but it is restful and you do find comfort in it?
Well, then I would probably just go to bed earlier because I would just do it. It would be not fun and I would just go to bed.
Well, you told me it might not be. Okay. I think we probably all agree that cleaning the house isn't, you know, the funnest thing we can do, but so in your intentional model, fun isn't the feeling. The intentional model is prepared or comforted or relaxed or whatever mm-hmm. is the feeling you're going for. So we don't have to look for the antithesis of fun. We have to figure out what the intentional feeling is about cleaning the house.
Yes, right? That's what I need.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be fun, but I want it to at least feel something that feels like it fits with me having a life where I give whatever I'm doing all of my energy. And if I don't have any energy to give, then I want that to be okay. Like that I can empty my brain and not have I don't have to be a good Girl Scout all the time. You know, like sometimes I can just
rest
or half-ass something or choose not to do something and be okay with that.
Yeah. Can you do that?
No, no, I don't think I can.
Why?
I don't know.
Now, I just said, we can't say I don't know because it blocks our wisdom.
Okay.
Blocks you from figuring it out.
Okay.
Okay. So tell me what you want at night. Tell me what the ultimate result of the night is.
What I really want is to go to bed every night feeling like all is right to the extent that I could make it all right. It's not always going to be all right, but that I was able to do what I could that day to make the world around me right.
Okay. What has to happen to create that result?
I want to say that I have to work really hard, but that's not what has to happen. I have to just have good intentions throughout the day, I think.
I have to have good intentions throughout the day. So there's no beat down.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of beat down. I've been noticing that and trying to.
There's working at what's needed for however long you need to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's picking up the house or paying the bills or whatever. There's so specific actions or inactions or reactions. So there's no beat down. There's doing the work. There's reinforcing. How you want to feel.
Yeah, I'm showing up for myself.
Showing up.
And when I drink wine, I'm not showing up for myself at
right.
all.
Okay. So in order to do these things, the no beat down, the working at what's needed, the reinforcing how you feel, the doing, you know, to create this result, how do you have to feel at night?
The first word that comes to my mind that I know is absolutely 100% not accurate, but this might be where my issue is the feeling is I have to feel perfect, but that I already know that is the wrong answer.
Do you think you have to feel perfect to do these things? Ken, leave that door open, please. It's hot in here. Do you think you have to feel perfect to do these things?
No. I think I just have to feel dedicated.
Dedicated. Okay. Dedicated to what?
To me living my life in accordance with my values. Like I feel best when I can line all that up, and I don't want to lie to myself and say, I'm going to drink this wine and it makes me feel good. when I know that it doesn't. Like, that's lying to myself. I don't want to lie to myself.
Look at what you just said. I feel best when I live according to my values.
Yeah.
Dedicated to yourself. There's no beat down. You work on what's needed. You reinforce how you feel and you show up for yourself. And you create this going to bed feeling like all is right.
Yeah. And you know what? I love that.
Yeah.
I think that. But then I look at, if you were to show me a picture of a person who lived like that, and I realize I can't live like that consistently, mm-hmm. but I would say that person is not human. Like, how can you?
Why not?
I don't, because I feel like I'm asking myself to be on 100% all the time. And that's where then the evening relaxation comes in. Because I can live that way for part mm-hmm. of the day when I'm energized, but then I need to rest and I don't know how to rest.
What if the C line here is work day, I don't know. How do we put, let's just say this C line is you went to work, you came home, and you didn't feel well and you went straight to bed.
Yeah, that's okay. Happened. Yeah.
How come that thought doesn't work?
Feel best when I live according to my values. It does. If I say I feel sick, I'm going to lay down now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So every day doesn't have to be the perfect, I got everything done, I feel amazing, to live according to your values. If part of your value system is taking care of yourself.
Okay.
If part of your value system is allowing yourself to be imperfect.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If part of your value system is allowing you to be human.
Okay, I like that. I'm allowing myself to be imperfect and human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you become dedicated to yourself. There's no beat down. mm-hmm. You're showing up for yourself. You're doing what's needed, working at what's needed, not doing everything.
Yep.
And reinforcing how you want to feel. It creates this going to bed feeling like it's okay and you did what you could.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to put the imperfect and the human in because that's where I get lost.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you we're all imperfect and we're all human, and giving, this is like the best giving ourselves grace model ever. Meeting ourselves where we are. Model ever. It's like saying, tomorrow I can have the most perfect 24-hour plan. I'm going to eat lettuce all day and I'm going to feel great. Or it can be like, it's a no, I'm planning some pizza. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
This is meeting yourself where you are each day, because that's part of your value system. To have a little grace for yourself.
Okay, I like that too. Meeting myself each day where I am, because that's part of my value system. So I need to then do some modeling and thought downloads on what my value system really is.
I would make
is.
A list of all those things that are Jillian's value system.
Okay.
From a compassionate place.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Sound good?
That's good. I'm glad we did this.
All right. Good deal.
Thank you.
You're all welcome. Right. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, let's check these Q&A real quick. Let's get this out of the way. During dinner, I stopped eating because I met my +2, but a few hours later, I was at -2 or -3. I ate more of my dinner, but was that okay? Yes, if it was true physical hunger, it's okay. If you did not plan to have that after dinner, then put it on the plan for tomorrow if you think that's what's going to happen. I'm a newbie, love the podcast and all the things. Too new for questions, just following the basics. Thank you. I listened to a recent coach's call and talking about relationships with one girl's mom and sister. Book question, the power of positive, confrontation. Okay. So you're giving a book recommendation. Cool. I answered that one. Is it okay to have more than one choice for a meal? Yes. I think that is just fine. If that helps you meet yourself where you are today and gives you options and helps you stay on plan, I think that is absolutely fine. I answered that one. Plus two is so hard. Does it get easier? Plus two is so hard as a thought. It just takes practice. You will, as you practice, you will learn more about plus two. I would be curious, what is hard about plus two? Is it stopping or is it finding it? You might define what you think plus two feels like. And then when you get to plus two, evaluate what you're thinking about it. Is it hard to stop or is it hard to find? And then if you have further questions, take that to ask coaches. I'm sure MJ would love to help you. Coach MJ. Do you plan an adult beverage? Oh, yep, I answered that one. Tips to stay in discomfort of eating your plan when you'd want more or something else. I have a thought ready that says, do I want the rest of this food or do I want to look good in my pants? That's my thought. Because that's one of my compelling reasons, is to look good in my pants. I carry my weight in my hips and in my butt. So my pants are important to me. So that's what I do. I have a decision point when it comes to eating more as to whether I really want that food or do I want to look good in my pants. How can I work through the thought of this won't help me losing weight without counting points and calories? You tell yourself that's a thought I'm thinking right now. Corinne tells me differently. Honestly, that's what I would, if you joined PMP and you 100% believe Corinne and all the other women in the tribe who've lost weight, believing in the hunger scale rather than counting calories, then borrow their belief. That's what exactly what I would do. When you think, I don't know if I can do this without counting points of calories, you remind yourself that there are thousands of women in the tribe doing exactly what you're doing and being successful. I'm going to Vegas for work this coming week. What's the best way to handle planning on a trip right out of the gate? We have a podcast on this, Kendra. It's on vacation planning. It happened, dropped last July, I believe, close to Corinne's birthday. I would create for myself a plan ahead of time that says, I will eat these things at these restaurants. This is what I'll allow. This is what I love. It's Vegas, so it's special, so I'm going to do these things. And then at the end of your trip, you plan your re-entry protocol to regular life. And you say, all right, I'm back on plan now. I'm not in Vegas anymore. The nachos and the French fries are done or whatever it is. The drinks are done. I am back doing all the things. And show yourself that you can allow yourself to follow your hunger scale in Vegas. Follow a little bit of a modified plan, you know, for food. And then get right back to it when you get home. So find that podcast on vacation, I don't know if it's called vacation plans or vacation protocols or something like that. I'm not sure the difference between an off-plan eat and an overeat. So an off-plan eat is planning oatmeal for breakfast and having nachos. So it's basically not eating what you planned. An overeat is eating too much of what you planned. So if you planned oatmeal and you ate to plus five, you stayed on plan, but you overate. If you planned oatmeal and had pizza instead, that's off plan. I hope that answers your question. When do you fill out the second day of the daily planner? Are you talking, I'm assuming you're talking about the journal page? I do mine in the morning. It helps me set my intention for the day. So I think about the thought I'm going to think all day. I think about the question I'm going to ask myself. And I do my journaling. And I do mine in the morning. Can do it anytime you want, anytime that works for you. Anytime you know you will do it every day. please talk about how to use the four goal circles. Kathy, that is, I'm going to direct you to the planner course. That is in, hang on just a second. If you go to, that's step two on the orientation page. If you go to the planner course, module two, unit five is goal, weight, secret sauce, four circles. That's where you'll find that answer. Can you review the unintentional, intentional model that's in the 24-hour assessment? I've listened to podcasts and it sounded clear, but when I'm doing the assessment, Elizabeth, I'm assuming you're a newbie. That lesson is in No BS in phase two. So until you get there, just leave those blank. That'll be fine. Go ahead and just do your thought download. And you'll learn the difference between an unintentional and an intentional model when you get into the thinking thin phase. I don't want to push you too hard. I want to make sure that you're doing your planning first and you got your basics down. And then when you get into phase two, you'll learn all about the modeling and the unintentional and the intentional. Can you talk about setting a realistic weight loss goal for the week or the month? I want to set a goal I can achieve, but I find myself building in room for error, which seems self-limiting. If you find yourself building in room for error, then pick a goal and decide that's the goal that you're going to have. If you make it, great. If you don't, set another goal for the next week. The goal just gives your brain something to work for. It's not right or wrong. You could pick a 10-pound goal. Might be a little unrealistic, but it gives you something to work toward. You could pick a 1-pound goal and decide that you don't work hard enough with a 1-pound goal. It's all very individual. So if you think you're building in room for error, look at what it means to you if you don't make a goal. Okay? That's where your thought work, what you're telling yourself about a goal, needs to be examined. Why does the green frame keep moving back and forth? I have no idea what the green frame is. I am so sorry. I don't have a green frame. How do we break the pattern of thinking of everyone else before myself? Well, that's a really good question. I'm working on that one myself. Jill, basically, I have to tell myself that I am important too. It's okay for me to take care of myself too. If you do the journal page in the PMP planner, it asks you, today my self-care is, I would work on creating time, something small that you do for yourself every day. For me, it might be a 10-minute walk in the sunshine. It might be reading my book for 15 minutes. You know, it's just something I do to show myself every day that I'm worth the time and the effort to take care of me too. So you have to get real intentional about creating something in your life to show you that you take time for yourself as well. It doesn't have to, it's not mani-pedis, it's not a bubble bath, it's not anything like that. It's just something to show you that you can take care of you too. That's how you start learning that you can take care of yourself along with everyone else. When you do snack planning, do you evaluate them separately? Can you do more than one snack at a time? Do you do the hunger scale with each? Yes, you can plan as many snacks as you want. And yes, you follow your hunger scale. So if I have a snack today, it'll be peanuts. And I will only have it if I'm at minus two and if I don't want to wait for dinner. Basically, it's that easy. But knowing that if I eat my peanuts to plus two, then I have to wait for minus two for dinner. So I evaluate each time I have a snack. I put down my hunger scale. I think about how I'm going to, you know, address the next meal, and I make a decision. "60 days worksheets. Do we fill these out all at once or a section each day based on the videos?" 60 days worksheets. Are you talking about the webinar that Corinne did? If you are talking about the webinar that Corinne did in last week for the public, if you're still doing those worksheets, I think I'd set those aside and do your planner instead. Go to the website. If you've been through orientation and you're in the planner course, print out a couple of 24-hour planning pages and do those. The green frame, who's talking? Okay, I get this now. At the top of your screen in the top right, when you have whoever's talking comes on screen, if you don't have it in gallery mode, if you click at the top right, there's like this little four arrow thing. Next time you're on a Zoom call, if you click that to, speaker mode is where it switches to whoever's talking. If you change it to gallery mode, you see both people on the screen at one time. I get you now. I see what you're saying. All right. How do we battle the thought, I'm done at night? Caring for others feels like self-care to draw a line, but then again makes me angry when inevitably my kids have needs during my self-care block. I think you're just going to have to decide. You know, do I take care of my kids right now or do I take care of me right now? And if I decide to take care of my kids, I'll take care of me in a minute, and that's okay. You just make a decision and like the decision. Don't get angry about it. And when you have kids, you got to take care of your kids too, right? When you have you, you got to take care of you too. I think you guys are getting hung up on these time blocks. Time blocks are just suggestions. They're setting an intention. You know, if you have 8 to 9 o'clock is my time and your kid's sick, you might have to set that aside, take care of the kid for a few minutes. And that's okay. You just got to like your reasons. I think that's everything. That's everything here. Okay, this has gone super long today, y'all. But thank you for all the questions. Thank you for being here. I hope it was helpful. This week, Coach Betsy will have office hours Wednesday night at 5 p.m. Central. And Corinne will have a Q&A here on Zoom Thursday at 11:30 a.m. Central. So I hope you have a good week. Use Ask Coaches if you have questions that you need a coach to answer. If it's a question someone in the community can answer, you can use the Facebook community. Otherwise, just let us know what you need. And remember, if you start to feel any kind of overwhelmed or anxious or anything like that, go back to that homepage. Do step one. When you're finished with step two, step one, do step two. When you're finished with step two, do step three. It's always going to be back to your no BS, okay? No BS is going to be the most important thing for you to focus on. All the calls are optional. Everything else is optional. Get your basics down first, okay? See y'all.